Today's shiur will be beginning at the bottom of Nun Daled Omid Beis in Maseches Bava Basra. We recommend that before listening to the shiur, you print out the daf of Gemara, and better yet, even to order your volume of Bava Basra, Shas Ozer. Our shiur today is a continuation of the state of suspense that we were left in from the previous day of learning, the previous omid, namely the upper part of few lines that preceded where we're picking up from now. We therefore highly recommend going back to the previous shiur, listen to the last 5-7 minutes of the shiur, and that will enable you to follow along a lot better as the Gemara continues. But for minor recap, we saw an incident whereby Rav Huna bought a field from a goy, paid money for the field, and in the spirit of Shmuel's teaching on the upper part of the page, a second Jew came along and did a kinyan by turning over some soil on that field, and the case came in front of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman granted ownership to the second gentleman. He is not the one that paid for it. Since you have Jew one who paid for it, does not become the owner. Jew number two, who did this soil turnover action, becomes the owner. Rav Huna, who loses in this case, is beside himself. And we pick up the Gemara inside, the end of the third line from the bottom, Omar Lei. Rav Huna, who just lost the case because of Rav Nachman's ruling, Mai Daitoch, what is your ruling based on? Notice we have in the space between the Tosfos and the Gemara a Kuf, encircled with a dashed vertical line that continues till Nun Hei Omid Aleph, indicating a long question. Rav Huna raises his question, which continues till that point. The Kuf referring to the word Kushia, question. Omar Lei, Mai Daitoch, Di Omar Shmuel, Nichse Oyved Koychovim Harehein, Kemidbor V'cholam Machzik Bohem Zocha. Are you causing me to lose the case because of Shmuel's teaching? This is Shmuel's teaching that had been the subject of the previous shiur, where he ruled that goyim, after getting paid, remove themselves from the picture, and the Jew is not said to acquire the field until he gets a shtar, therefore leaving a breach in law, a legal opening whereby someone else could come in and make a kinyan chazaka on the land. If that's what your ruling is based on, Rav Huna continues, Levid li mor ki'idoch de Shmuel, then paskin like Shmuel all along the way. Be a consistent Shmuel man. The Omar Shmuel, there's another ruling of Shmuel. Loi kono ela mokoim makusho bilvad, that when one makes a kinyan by resorting to turning over soil, Shmuel had ruled on Daf Nun Dalid Omid Aleph at the bottom that all he acquires is the space of ground upon which he turned over the shovel. Hence, all right, says Rav Huna, if I have to lose something, so I'll part with a few square inches of dirt that the shovel was inserted in and turned over the dirt. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman responds, Behai ano keshmaitzech sviro li. With regard to this, I hold like your ruling. The Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav, we've dashed underline Rav Huna to emphasize that he is the subject of this point. That you, Rav Huna, said in the name of Rav, also on Nun Dalet Omet Aleph, Kevon Shenikesh Bo Mokush Echod Kona Kula. That by inserting the shovel in the ground on a piece of well-defined property, you gain ownership of the whole property. Hence, the second Jew who did the shovel action gains possession of the whole property. Before continuing with more, I just want to make note of a marking that might have eluded us. On the second line from the top, you notice an arrow in the narrow space between the Gemara and the Tosfos. This arrow also has written next to it, or under it, the Daf Nun Dalet Omet Aleph. That instructs us to turn to Nun Dalet Omet Aleph and find a corresponding arrow, but in that case it would have to have the Daf Nun Hei Omet Aleph written next to it. And you notice that arrow on the bottom line of Nun Dalet Omet Aleph, and that is the point at which Shmuel's din was referred to of Lo Kono Lo Moko Makusho Bilvad, which is being quoted over here on Nun Hei Omet Aleph. These markings enable easy cross-referencing. You also find that you see something interesting here in terms of Psak, that the idea of following the psak of one Rav all the time is not necessarily the case. There are other Gemaras that deal with that particular topic. We have a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zorah and also in Maseches Nidah, which refers to controversies in Halacha on Deraisas, Derabonans. Deraisas you follow the Machmir, in Derabonans you follow the Mekil. Of course, with other considerations, you know, other considerations all being equal, that you're dealing with sages on the same level. And there are different rules of psak that are a little more involved than the simplistic approach that suggests follow one Rav all the time. Here you have clear evidence of Rav Nachman ruling on one occasion like Shmuel, on the other occasion like Rav. Continuing in the Gemara, Sholach Rav Huna Bar Ovin. We have the following halacha that he quotes, and we've used quotation marks to indicate the extent of his message. Yisrael Sholokach Soda Me'evi Kichovim Ubo Yisrael Achir V'Hichzik Bo. This is the case we've seen already a few times. A Jew bought land from a goy. A second Jew came along and made a chazaka on that land that the first one had paid for. Ein motziim oisa miyado. We don't remove it from the second fellow. That's like Shmuel's ruling. V'chein hoya Rabbi Ovin, Rabbi Lo, v'chol rabosenu shovin badavar. And this psak was agreed upon by many rabbis as well. We notice in the markings a slash. This indicates the end of one thought pattern and the beginning of a new idea. Let us take advantage of the introductory comments that the pre-marked Shas Ozer edition affords you. You'll notice on the outside margin the heading called Nosei, the title of the Sukya, Rechishas Karka Tmuras Tashlum Misim Shechayov Hasheni, namely acquisition of ground in exchange for paying the taxes that the other guy is chayev to have paid. Din ze mevusas al kach. This din, this law, is based on the principle or the underlying idea that all of a person's properties are bound to the king, to the government. In other words, the government, in anticipation of its taxes, is said to have a lien on all of the citizens' property.
V'hamelech Omar shekol mi shemeshalem hamas.
The king's ruling is that, let us say, at the beginning of the year, the beginning of the tax year, anyone who pays the tax, yizke boi lios habaylim. So, if on tax collection day the person who had been considered the owner of the land pays his taxes, so he continues owning his land. If, however, he's delinquent in his tax payment, the date for tax payment goes by, he hasn't paid his tax. Someone else comes along and pays those taxes, that someone else becomes the owner. As the Gemara goes on, we're going to be introduced to three halachas. Omar Rabo, Hani Tlas Mili, the following three points, Ishtoi Li, were told to me by Ukvon Bar Nechemya Resh Gelusa, by this gentleman, Ukvon, who was the exilarch, Mishmei de Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel. Number one, Dino de Machusa Dino. Number two, Va'arisusa de Parsoi Ad Arboim Shonin. And number three, Vahani Zeharuri de Zovin Aro de Tasko Zavinu Zavini. The first point, Dino de Machusa Dino, that laws that are issued by the government that concern primarily issues of commerce and finance, that they have legal import, they're binding as far as halacha is concerned. The second halacha is explained by the Rashbam, this idea of Arisusa de Parsoi Ad Arboim Shonin. The Rashbam presents two explanations of this halacha. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. In the narrow lines, a little bit up above this point in the Rashbam, from the Gemara, says Darisa de Parsoi Arboim Shonin. One, Cheskas Parsoim Mem Shonim Hi Al Yedei Dino de Machusa. The Chazoka in the Persian legal system is one of 40 years. That's based on the rule of law of the government. The Afalgav de Lokoni Inish Ela Bishtar, even though a person, generally speaking, does not gain acquisition unless he has a document, a contract indicating he is the owner. Miu im hichsik bo akum arboim shonim. If, however, a goy occupied and used a piece of land for 40 years, Ubo Yisrael v'konam imenu, and a Jew came along and bought from him, the goy that was using it for 40 years, have a kinyan gomor. V'lo yuchal Yisrael acher lomar sheli hi, shegozlo akum mimeni. And another Jew wouldn't be able to come along and claim, hey, that's my land that this goy stole from me. V'yafagav diamrinan, even though the traditional halacha says Yisrael habo machmasu akum areyu ka'akum, the ein lo chazoka ela bahu shtoro shemochro Yisrael akum, that a Jew who comes to possess a piece of land because a goy had owned it prior, he is no stronger than the akum who was there before. He is no stronger than the goy from whom he came, and he, the Jew, would have no chazoka unless he has a shtar that the original Jew sold it to the goy. Here you have a goy that sat on the land for 40 years. He doesn't have the shtar. He doesn't have a shtar that the original Jew sold him the land. He's there only because of he was there for 40 years. Hocho yesh lo chazaka. Nevertheless, this goy will be considered legitimate, even in the eyes of the halacha. Hence, when this goy sells it to the Jew number two who comes along, it's a good sale. There's another pirush that the Rashbam offers on this halacha inami, also lashminan, that the halacha Shmuel is telling us, the afagad b'shar mekoymes have a chazaka liyisrael begimel shanim, even though in other places, outside of Poras, outside of Persia, a Jew gains a chazaka after 3 years. Eretz Poras in a chazaka befokus mimem shanim. In order to gain a chazaka, you have to be there for 40 years. The Dina de Mahusa, who Shom Cain. That's the way they rule. The third halacha, and this too we will need to seek the Rashbam to explain it. The halacha that the Gemara referred to as Hani Ziharuri de Zovin Ara Letaska Zavinu Zavini. The Ziharure is a reference to wealthy people that would pay money to the government to cover the taxes that were owed by the poor owners that couldn't afford to pay the taxes. These rich Ziharuri, these rich people, would pay the taxes and then take ownership of the ground, of those lands, because of the tax they paid. Now, these wealthy people, after they pay the taxes, if they in turn sell the land, the Gemara rules that their sale is legitimate. Let's see this in the Rashbam on the first wide line under the Gemara text. Zavinu zivinayu zvini, ma shekonin akarka me'avdei hamelech, bishvil hamas shenoisnim, that which they acquired the land in exchange for the tax that they paid, michron kayom, when they sell it, their sale is legitimate. Tedina d'machusadina, v'myachsru b'aylem rishonim, o yisashru, if the original owners who might not have been there at all, they just happened to they returned, or they were poor and didn't pay the taxes, not because they were absent, but because they didn't have money, and now they came into the money. And they offered to pay the taxes to the rich people that paid for them the taxes. Lo yuchlu la'arer al hani zeruri klal. They can't protest anything concerning these rich people who paid the taxes. Tis a vinayu zvini. The sale that they conducted afterwards was totally legitimate. The Gemara goes on, but qualifies this halacha. The Hani Mili, that which we said that they become the legitimate owners and their sales are considered sales, that is Letaska. That is if they pay the land tax. Taska is the name of the land tax. Avol lekargolo. There's another form of taxation called head tax. If these wealthy people paid the head tax of the indigent, the poor, that couldn't afford to pay their head taxes, and they in turn, the rich ones, paid the head tax, that does not create ownership on their behalf. The Rashbam comments, Avo lekargo, b'shvil kesef gulgalta shelo poru, mochru lahem avdei hamelech kaka oisuf shelzeh. Imagine that the king's emissaries transferred ownership of land because these people, these wealthy people, paid the head taxes of the original owners. That is not, wasn't legitimate. Wasn't legitimate for the servants, the Avdei HaMelech, to give them possession of the land. Therefore, if they were to sell the land, it wouldn't be a legitimate sale. That's Lo Havu Zvini. The Ein Zeh Dina de Malchusa Ligvois Akarka Bishvil Mas Harosh. The Dina de Malchusa does not include head tax as a means of gaining ownership of land. Ki'im Bishvil Mas Hakarka. Only through paying a land tax does one gain ownership. Continuing in the Gemara. My Taima. Before we go further, I want to note there was a little aleph that you see above Avol Lekargolo, namely the paying head tax doesn't create ownership, and it's called aleph. The reason there's an aleph is because there's going to be a base. You notice the base is by Rav Huna on the next line, and by virtue of the fact that his base appears there, indicates he's a second opinion that's going to differ from this opinion. Before we learn Rav Huna's opinion, the Gemara asks why this distinction between land tax and head tax. The Gemara explains, karga, as far as head tax is concerned, a karkof de gabri monach, literally levied on his head, meaning that the person is responsible to pay his tax, and if he doesn't pay the tax, then he conceivably could be grabbed until he pays the tax. This, the Rashbam says, Akarkafta de Gavra Monach, O Yitfesuhu, Ad Shiyite Me'elov, O Yivrach Minoir. Either they grab him until he pays it, or he is suggested that he runs out of town. But not that his properties or possessions are bound toward that, to the head tax. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua Amar, Afilu Sa'ari Dekado. Even the barley in his jug, an example of even a person's portables, and certainly his land, Mishtabdi Lekarga. He has a totally different opinion, the Rav Huna Rav Shua, the Bay's opinion, as opposed to the Aleph opinion, where when it comes to head tax, everything is bound to that. Even his portables, and certainly his land. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice some geometric symbols, namely the diamond, which indicates in the marking system a series, and also a double underline, which likewise is a marking in the Shas Ozer edition that indicates a series. On the side of the Gemara we have the Mivneh, the structural comment, and you see the diamond there, Memros Shel Ravashi, comments of Ravashi, and the double underline features the expression Omar Li Huna Bar Nosan, where Huna Bar Nosan told Ravashi certain halachas. As you scan down the page, you can see this repeats itself a few times. The first comment of Ravashi is in effect a question based on the halacha we just learned. He will tell us that a Amemar, another sage, raised a problem. A point of background that is necessary is a halacha concerning inheritance of a bechor. A firstborn inherits pishnayim, twice as much as any other brother that might be in his family at the point of the father's demise. We say that a bechor is yoresh pishnayim. However, he's yoresh pishnayim of properties that are owned at the time of the father's death. He doesn't get pishnayim from anticipated properties. You can have a situation where a person's father dies, but his grandfather is still alive. So the property of the grandfather ultimately will go to the grandchildren, but under normal circumstances it would have gone to his son, and then from his son to his sons. But in the case I just described, when the son died, the grandfather was still alive. So as far as those properties concerned, the grandson who happens to be Bechor would not get Pishnaim of that, because that was only anticipated property. So said simply, property that is not in the possession of the deceased at the time of his demise is not subject to the Pishnayim division. If it's true that a person is never really in possession of his lands until he pays his taxes, imagine a person died and he hadn't paid the tax yet. And that's a could be a very common situation. So, who's the owner of the land? Person died, thinking that he owns the land, but it just so happens he didn't pay the tax. The ownership of that person was would have taken place only upon his paying the tax. So if he dies before he paid the tax, there should be no inheritance of Bechor Pishnayim, of double portion for the Bechor. Let's see this in the Gemara. Omar Rav Ashi. Omar Li Huna Bar Noson. Huna Bar Noson told Rav Ashi the following. Koshi Bo Amemar. Amemar had difficulty with this halacha. Im Kain, if it is so that even the barley in a person's jar is meshubed to a person's head tax, everything is duty bound, or we can say there is a lien on all of a person's property until he pays his head tax. Im Kain, bitalto Yerushas Beno Habachor. You've thereby annulled the concept of a Bechor inheriting Pishnayim. Dehavele Roi. All of his property are only his property in potential. Namely, until he pays the tax. But if a person died before paying his head tax, then he doesn't own anything. V'ein HaBechor Noteh B'Roi Kibamustok. And we know that a Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim in anticipated properties, as he does get Pishnayim in held properties. So we have a kind of an unbelievable situation that if this halacha is true, there's really never going to be Pishnayim for Bechor. Now, Amemar was focusing his question on the comment made by Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua. We mentioned it in our explanation, but we're going to mention it again. Amemar was bothered by the idea that Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua said that all of a person's possessions are duty-bound to the head tax payment. Amale, Rav Ashi says back, I hochi afilu tasko nami. If that be the case, you could have raised your objection to the issue of the land tax that calls man as long as a person doesn't pay the land tax, he's not in possession of his properties, of his lands. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. Im Kain, in the wide lines, the first third, the end of the first third of the wide lines, Im Kain, the afilu sairi dekado mishtabdi lekargo. If it's so that even the barley in his jar is duty bound to the head tax, hechi iskai makosuv dichtiv. How can we ever establish the posuk that says b'chol asher yimotzei lo, which is a reference to the b'chor getting pishnayim? Hare ba'oisa ha'malchus botla bitalta Yerushas b'chol b'no ha'b'chor. In that land, in that area, you've annulled, you've voided this Torah teaching. The chol momon ho'av im meis velo para adayin kargo the shanazu, that all of a person's possessions, if he died before he paid his head tax of this year, avilei momona ro'ui. His all of his possessions are considered only anticipated. De'eno muhsik bo klal ki'im hamelech. Then who's the real owner of those properties? The king. The shibud hamelech odif mishar shibudim. The hold the king has on it is stronger than any others. U'kegavui domi. And it's as if it's already been collected by the king. Rav Ashi, upon hearing that halacha, he had said, and we saw this in the Gemara already, if you're asking about the head tax, you could have asked the same type of question regarding the land tax. Rav Ashi continues, Ela ma isloch lemeimar. What are you going to have to explain as far as the land tax? That didn't seem to bother you at all. why not? So you would probably explain that issue as follows. Diyohiv tasko umis. The reason that there's no problem with the Yerushas b'no ha-bechor is because the case involves a person having paid first his land tax and then died. So who's the owner of the land that year? The guy who paid the tax, the father. So naturally his son, the Bechor, will get the Pishnayim, because at that point it was not anticipated property, but held, mamish, actually held. Hochanami. So as far as the issue of the head tax, you shouldn't be bothered by the concept that all of a person's properties are bound to that. There still will be Yerushas B'no HaBechor, the double portion. Hochanami, Diyohiv, Karga, Umis. If you accept that the father, upon paying his head tax, he becomes the owner of all of his properties. Therefore, when he dies, after having paid his head tax, the Bechor will get Pishnayim. Omar, the Gemara goes on, Omar Rav Ashi, Omar Li Huna Bar Nosan, She'altinu L'Safri D'Rova. Rav Huna Bar Nosan told Rav Ashi that he had asked the scribes of Rova, the Omru Li, and they told him, Hilchaso K'Rav Huna Brei D'Rav Yoshua. So you have these scribes. Scribes are people that prepare a lot of documents. Documents of sale, documents, ownership documents. So they said the halacha goes like Rav Huna Brei D'Rav Yoshua, namely that everything is considered to have a lien on it in anticipation of the head tax payment. As a result of that, what would follow? That people who paid other people's head taxes would become owners of those people's properties. And then those people, namely those who paid the taxes, could in turn sell off those properties to others. You can imagine all the documents that are prepared in light of this teaching. The Gemara says, the lohi. It rejects this information that was conveyed by the scribes of Rava. Not true. Not true that all of a person's property is bound to his head tax. So why'd they say that? Why did they say that we're going to paskin like Rav Huna, Brei D'Rav Yoshua? Hasam l'ukumi milsa hu de Omar. Let's take a look at the Rashbam. Briefly said they had a vested interest. The Rashbam says, Velohi, les hilchasa k'Rav Huna Brei D'Rav Yoshua. Lo mishtabdi, lo karkois, velo metaltin lekarga. As far as head tax is concerned, nor his properties nor his portables are bound to that. The e zovun lekarga, lo havu zvinayu zvini. If someone had paid someone's head tax and thought they gained possession of those properties, and then they in turn sold off those properties, thinking they're the owners of it, their sale is void. The karga, as far as head tax is concerned, a karkafta de gavra monach. It's on his head only. And as we saw in the Rashbam earlier, it basically means if the person didn't pay his tax and he doesn't intend to, he ought to run out of town or subject himself to being grabbed. But nothing more than that. Now, the inhu safri de rovo, those scribes of rovo, the amri hilchasuk rav huna, that try to paskin like Rav Huna's teaching, that everything is bound to that head tax, l'kumi milsayu bo, l'kayem ma'aseyem u'shtoros shekosfu al-mechiros karkos shenimkuru l'karga. They had prepared a lot of documents documents of sale concerning properties thought to be in the possession of those that paid other people's head taxes. Ubo lomar, and they came to say the mishtabdi v'karga kadeshiu hamechiros v'ashtoros kayomin, so as to legitimatize all the shtoros that they prepared. Umiu shalokedin nichtevu ashtoros v'nimkuru akarkos. What was done by them? They prepared shtoros to cover sales of property by those who had paid other people's head taxes. Illegal.
the Hatri's Vini, and all of those sales would be void. Continuing in the Gemara, the Omar Rav Ashi. Pardachas. Pardachas is an expression referring to a person that is botel. Namely, he's a loafer, a free loafer. He doesn't work. He doesn't study. He doesn't do anything. A person like this is a member of society, though, and he has certain tax obligations. The Gemara says over the next line what its intent is. However, we will need to resort to the Rabbeinu Gershom for explanation. The Gemara continues, Pardachas, Misayeya Maso. The community has to cover his expenses. Vahani Mili, when is it so that they are Misaya, that they help him in his tax payments? De Atsilte Maso. Avol Andiski Siato Dishmayo Hi. These words in and of themselves are rather unclear. However, if we take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom, the lower part of the inside of the page, he is found about 10 lines from the end, Pardachas Messiah Masa Odom Botel, the Lesle Sodois Lasoik Bohen, person who is just he's unemployed, and he doesn't have grounds that occupies him, that he works. They misasek b'shum dovar, elo bebatlonus, hainu pardachas. It's a person that is engaged in nothing, nothing constructive. Misayei amaso, shetzorech loy, leoysoi pardachas, litein chelkei b'oil b'nei ha'ir, l'shibud sar ha'ir. This pardachas individual has to give his share in the public tax burden. It's the Ul B'nei O'ir that are people that are bound to make payments to the government. V'hani mili d'tzorach litein chelek d'atzilte masa shehitziluhu B'nei O'ir b'divrayim miyad hasar. This is a person that, look, let's face it, he has no means of paying anything, and the community intervened on his behalf and spoke to the government, spoke to the Tsar, and through their talking to him, he was saved. She'amru l'Tsar, ein lo zeh klum litein loch, v'shom alohen, v'hinichu al pihen, v'nitzal al pihen, and the government, after hearing their pleas on his behalf, were convinced not to make full collection from him. Chayov l'sayom. He nevertheless has to try to help them out. In other words, there's a dual relationship. You have the community that intervened on his behalf. Now he has to do something on their behalf. Avol andiski. The Rabbeinu Gershom continues. Hainu sar ho'ir me'atzmo noisei lo le'oisei pardachas she'omar eini choshesh likach mizeh klum. If you have the same Odom Botel, this pardachas, that was spared, not because of communal intervention, but because the government themselves felt compassion toward him, Siyata d'shmayahu d'rachmi olei, it's because of heavenly intervention that created favor in the of this fellow in the eyes of the government. The eino tzorach liteni moem l'sayom. He, even though because he's not paying, there is an increase in tax burden on the others. This is a point that you'll find the Rashbam elaborates on. He nevertheless doesn't have to help them out. He was spared. Not because of any good favors done by them for him, but because of Siyata Dishmaya. Continuing in the Gemara.
We notice a slash marking. This indicates a new thought pattern will be starting at this point. Let us glance at the topic heading and the marking description under the note on the side, Nosei Mivneh, and there's also an indication that this discussion continues till Nun Vav Amid Aleph. So we have these house forms. The house forms are Gimel Deos, the Shalosh Deos, Bimai, Meitzar, V'Chatzov, Mafsikim. A border, and a chatzov is a type of plant whose roots grow vertically downwards. It's, they do not have a common root system that sort of scatters in all directions, but rather grows directly down, vertically downwards. These can serve as points of division. A mafsik is something that divides, that blocks, that separates, points of separation. What are the topics that are involved in these points of separation? So those are going to be featured with another marking. You notice this other geometric form after the house form. The explanation for that is Makoros Beinyan Hafsoka. There'll be Tanaic sources that the issue of separation figures prominently in them, and they are Peah, Tumo, and Shabbos. Peah is the idea of a tithe of produce that's left growing in the corner of a field. Every field that a person owns, he has to leave the Peah tithe. Let's say a person owns several fields in different locations, so each field has to have its own Peah left from it. Tumah is an issue of Tumas Hameis that's found in a field, and the person is Mesupok whether he encountered the Tumah. And Shabbos will be a halacha concerning Tiltul B'Rishus HaRabin. Taking a look in the Gemara, we notice the house forms. They will include Rav Asi, and the line under that, Ravin. And on Amud Beis, we'll have to wait until we go further down the Amid. Rava will appear also, and you can see he's indicated by a number 3 as well. These are 3 opinions, as we featured in the house marking. Under what circumstances does a border and the chatzov plant serve to form separation? The concept at this point is, of course, vague. To appreciate it, we'll have to see its application. At this point, let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan. We have featured Rav Yochanan with a slashed underline, a dashed underline, because Rav Asi presents an opinion of Rav Yochanan, and Ravin, on the next line, presents a different version of Rav Yochanan. So we tried to draw your attention to that phenomenon. Omer of Asi, Omer of Yochanan, Hametzar v'hachatzov mafsikin benichsei hager avol le'inyan peah v'tumo loy. Nichsei hager is a topic that we've discussed on previous Amudim of Gemara, where a convert died leaving a piece of property. It's considered, and he has no heirs, no Jewish heirs, it's considered hefker until someone comes along and makes a kinyan on the property. Let's say there are 2 properties that the ger had owned, and the 2 properties share a common border, a meitzar. Meitzar might be a rill of soil that's in a mound form running between 2 parcels of land. Likewise, imagine 2 parcels of land that the only thing separating them is a row of these chatzov plants. they are mafsik, which would mean that if you make a kinyan on one piece of property, the kinyan would not enable you to acquire the piece of property on the other side of the border or of this row of chatzav plants. That's the concept of mafsikin. It forms a separation, hence requiring the person who's interested in acquiring both parcels of land to make a kinyan, to make an act of acquisition on both sides of the border or both sides of this row of chatzav plants that's splitting the property into two separate plots. So this opinion of Rav Asi is that the Meitzar and Chatzov are mafsik. That's only with regard to Nichsei Hager. But as far as issues of Peah and Tumah, they would not form a hefsik. To understand the role of a hefsik in Peah and Tumah, we're going to have to wait till we see the sources that apply as the Gemara goes on. He also Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu lepeah v'tumah. Even with regard to halachas concerning peah and tumah, these will form a hefsik. Before we go on in the Gemara reading, let us take note on Amud Beis, where Rava appears in the second half of the page. On Amud Beis, Rava appears in a house form. He says, Rava Omar Afilu Le'inyan Shabbos. Preceding Rava, there had been three words that seemed to be, at that point, more unrelated, but it says, Avol Shabbos Lo. To appreciate the positioning of those words, you really would have to read the Gemara here at the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Aleph, thusly. He also Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Lepeah V'tumah, Avol L'Shabbos Lo, namely skipping to that phrase. And then you would appreciate Rava in number 3, who says, Afilu L'Inyan Shabbos. And you can see that the word Shabbos has the same form around it as does Tumah and Peah. Three topics, Tanaic sources, in which the concept of mafsik will appear. Peah mahi. After Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan mentioned that the chatzav and meitzar are mafsik regarding peah, what's the case? And we mentioned that the geometric form around the word peah is part of the series of sources in which the issue of hafsoka comes up. And hence on Amud Beis, you noticed Tumah has the same form as well as Shabbos. So what's the case of Peah? Disnan. V'elu mafsikin l'peah. The following items that are found in this Tanaic source, as you can see, is indicated by the frame around it. In our marking system, all Tanaic sources receive frames. The following are mafsik in the realm of peah, and once again, when we say mafsik, it means that if a person has a field, and within his property, one of the following items appears, it serves to split his field into two separate entities. And as a result, on each section, he'll have to leave a separate peah tithe. That's a corner of field where fruits remain for the poor to come and collect. We're going to see a list of items, but meitzar and chatzav are not going to be mentioned. And that's the chiddush of Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, or in this case, Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan, that in addition to the list that's found in this Tanaic source, Meitzar and Chatzav also will serve to create this separation, and hence a need to leave a separate tithe from each section. The Elu Mafsikin Lepeah, Hanachal, a river or a stream, Vashlulis, also an accumulation of rainwater that's similar to a Nachal, V'derech HaRabim, V'derech HaYochid. Derech HaRabim is a road that's used by the public, 16 amas wide. And not only that, but even a derech hayochid, shvil harabim, the shvil hayochid, hakovua, bein bimoyis hachamo, ubein bimoyis hagshomim. These paths are paths that are there year-round. So if they have these characteristics, paths that are not only public paths, but even private paths that are there year-round, they will serve to separate the different sections that are on either side of them, and hence he will need to leave payah from each section. As far as our Gemara is concerned, not only these items, but a Meitzar and Chatzov would also create the same separation, and hence a need for separate payah tithings. Continuing in the Gemara, Tum'ah, Mahi. What's the Shaychus, what's the connection of Hafsoka with regard, in a field, with regard to the issue of Tum'ah? This not. We have the following source, but we're going to note that the concept of Hefsik in the realm of Tum'ah will have bearing only insofar as Shitas Rebbe Lozer, who appears in the second half of this source. The issue of Tum'ah has to do with Tumas Meis, or Oyel HaTum'ah, where one comes into contact or overshadows a grave. And we have a situation where it's known that there's a body that's buried in a field. Person enters this area and he's not sure whether he had contact with that grave. What is his status? Is he Tohar or Tomei? How do we view someone who is in a state of doubt regarding Tumas Meis? One more point one should be aware of is that if an issue of doubt arises in a public area, that's known as Sofei Tumo Virshus Arabim, the ruling on that is he remains Tohar. Let us see the source and then try to offer further explanation to connect it with our sugya. Tisnan. The frame indicates a Tanaic source. Five lines you see framed. Hanichnos Lebiko Vimois Hakshomim. Biko is an area that has a lot of fields in it. And he enters such an area during the rainy season. During the rainy season, the plants have been planted, the ground has been seeded. The public does not trespass the lands. It would injure the crops, the future crops. Vetumo besode ploinis. And in one of the fields that's in this Biko region, in one of the fields, there's a body buried. It's not something that you can see. The Omar and a fellow told us, "Holachti lemokum haloz, v'eini yodea im nichnasti le'oisa mokum im lav." I went to that area. I went to the Biko, and I don't know whether I was in the area that the body was located. Rebbe Elezer mitayer v'chachomim mitamin. Rebbe Elezer rules him to be tor, and this will attract our attention momentarily. The Chachomim, however, rule he's Tomei. As far as the Chachomim are concerned, there's a broad area, and there's a singular suffix. Did the fellow overshadow the grave? That's called a singular suffix in a matter of Tumo, suffix Tumo, Bishus HaYochid, and that's considered Tomei. Rebbe Elozer is Metahir, but why? Shehoyu Rebbe Elozer Omer, Sofek Bio Tohor, Sofek Magotumo Tomei. To appreciate this, it's necessary to learn the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Sofek Bio Tohor, Hecho de Mesafkole im Nichnas Bo Oise Sode. where there's a matter of doubt whether he entered the particular field in which the body was found, the imtim tzolomar nichnas, and even if you say he did enter the field where the body was subsequently found, sofek imbo ad mokom hakever im lav, there still remains a doubt, even if he entered the particular field that had the body in it, did he actually come to the point at which the body was located in that field? Usfeik, sfeika hu, v'tor. There's a double sofek. Again, sofek whether he entered that particular field, and even if he entered that particular field, did he have contact with the body? Notice we're explaining here the idea of entering a particular field. The Chachamim did not factor this in. They said that the whole region is considered one large field, as far as they were concerned. Hence, there's only one suffix. And the suffix being contact with the body or not. Rav Elozer has a different approach. Continuing in the Rashbam, Aval Hecho Deleko El Suffix Mago. If, however, there is only a suffix regarding contact, it's clear to this fellow that he entered the field in which the body was subsequently found. That's considered a singular suffix, and hence tome, even according to Belozer. V'hilkoch, l'Rebbe Eliezer, I mafsik meitzar v'chatzov beintayim. If you have this Bikkur region, and within this region you have sections that are bounded by meitzar, by borders, raised pieces of land, raised rills of land, separating, creating a separation between the fields, or a row of chatzov plants, beintayim, between fields, the tuma ba'achas mehen, the ein yodea be'ezo mehen nichnas, and there's tuma in one of these sections that have been sectioned off by Meitzar or Chatzov, and he entered one of them, but he doesn't know which one, that equals Sofek Biyahu V'Tohar. That constitutes Sofek of entrance, and we said that that would constitute one of two Sfekas, Sofek entrance, and so then, even if he entered, Sofek whether he had contact. V'i Leko Meitzar Beintayim. If, however, you have this Bikkur, and there was no Meitzar, there were no borders within this Bikkur region separating the fields, Sofek mago iko velo sofek bio de kulu soda achas hein. They would be considered only all one large field, vitome. The Gemara at this point comments avol l'shabos lo. The speaker over here, according to the Rashbam, is the Gemara. In other words, it's not a comment made by Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He simply said, Afilu lepeo vetuma. And at this point, the Gemara is commenting that as far as Ravin is concerned, he would say, not in Shabbos. That's the Rava commenting on Ravin. The Gemara continues, Rava Omar, Afilu leinyan Shabbos. The ability of Meitzar and Chatzav to create separation exists in the realm of Hilchus Shabbos as well. As you can see, there is a Tanaic source that follows, and it continues to the top of the next page of Nun Vavam and Aleph. For convenience purposes, we will pause at this point in anticipation next time going through the issue of Hafsoka as it affects Shabbos. That is the end for today.